From leaking tall buildings to going off like gamma bombs. Switch your internet browser to comicsonline.com.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Hello again.
Oh, wait, one question.
It's okay. Sure, go ahead.
Are we allowed to curse?
Yes, you can say whatever the fuck you want.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah, no, we're not
censored. Give, like, you the worst interview. You're like, oh, I can't use any of this.
No,
it's horrible.
Okay. No, okay. We're, as Kevin, our editor-in-chief, has put, we're a hard R, so don't worry about it.
Awesome.
Okay. All right,
my
so.
My favorite kind of R.
All right, so 5, 4, 3, 2. Hello again, welcome to the Comics Online Podcast, Season 16, Episode 16. I'm your host, Mike Lunsford, but more importantly, I am your interviewer for our next guest. Before the days of YouTube, MySpace, or iTunes, our guest penned a song that became an underground viral sensation while most of us were still using dial-up modems. This cult classic was titled David Duchovny, and joining us today, we have the singer-songwriter herself, Bree Sharp. Bree, how are you today?
I'm great, Mike. Thanks for that adorable introduction.
Oh, well, thank you. I wrote that myself.
You did a good job.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's... I gotta ask you right up front, because I'm an X-Files fan. I mean, it sounds like you are, too. Based on your love of Mr. Duchovny, how excited were you when you saw that the X-Files was coming back to TV?
I was excited and also, like, nervous a little, you know, when you have something that you like so much, you know,
yeah.
It's sort of, like, scary to sort of see it rebooted. But obviously, I mean, to see those guys reprise those roles was pretty, pretty darn exciting. So I would say 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5, yeah. There's always that tinge of, oh my God, what if they screw this up? What if they do something crazy? What if they...
Yeah, I'm a huge fan different. Of the Alien series,
yeah.
But I really only acknowledge the first three.
Well,
so,
that makes sense, yeah.
You know, and I love Ridley Scott, and I was so excited for Prometheus, but then it just kind of, yeah, I just don't like when they F with the series because it's so awesome, you know, the,
no,
those first two in particular. So
it's
a tough call. Some of the, you know, sometimes sequels and reboots are awesome, and sometimes they're not, so you never know.
Yeah, sometimes
you
get
started. But you
gotta try. Yeah, absolutely, you do. And
yeah.
I mean, this is, I kind of wanted to ask you too, like, what a cool way to get, I was reading over your bio, and like, I thought it was incredible that you wrote this song. It became something that they used at their Christmas party, like the X-Files cast and crew, and then it just like blew up everywhere. It was like viral before viral existed.
Yeah, it was pretty bananas. I have to say, you know, I was... just out of college at the time, and I had just gotten a record deal, or was like I had gotten a record deal, but the record hadn't come out yet. And somehow David got a copy of the song, and apparently he was like playing it in his trailer. And so the producer's assistants decided they wanted to make this video for him, just like an in-house thing, with the cast and crew lip-syncing the song. And and so they called my manager and said, hey, do you mind if we use this song? And I was like, no. Are you serious? Like, you gotta be kidding me. So then, after they shot it, this is like seriously back in the day. They were in LA, but someone was in New York, and they like hand-delivered a VHS copy of it.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, I don't know if you or your listeners have seen it online, but... It's very lo-fi, and the first, like, two-thirds of the song are basically just, like, the producer's friends kind of lip-syncing it, and I was like, what is this? Like, why did the- I don't get it. And then in the middle, when the bridge comes in, all of the X-Files people come in, like, Jillian and the Lone Gunman and Chris Carter, and I was like, right then and there, I could have died very happy. And then it kept going. It went back to, like, the friends. And then all of a sudden, at the end, there was Janeane Garofalo. And I was like, what the hell? And I'm a huge comedy fan. Like, I've been a comedy fan for forever. So I was like, oh, my God, Janeane Garofalo. And then it was, like, David Spade and Kevin Nealon. And then it was, like, Charles Nelson Reilly. What? And then all four members of KISS in full face makeup. And Brad Pitt and George Clooney. And I pretty much... As you might be able to tell from this interview already, I am not often at a loss for words, but I'm pretty sure that I watched it 4 times straight before I could speak any words.
Oh, yeah.
I, like, figuratively peed my pants. And And yeah, and it was before YouTube, and gosh, who knows what would have happened had the internets been around at the time. But yeah, here we are now.
Exactly.
Another chance.
Yeah. I mean, what a great way to experience something that you created that other people enjoyed as well. Now, since we're talking about the X-Files, the show is big on conspiracies. Are you a big conspiracy theorist?
Not really. You know, I think that, I mean, I sort of run towards, I love science. Mm-hmm. And to me, the biggest mysteries out there are don't need to be like peppered with any kind of conspiracies. Like there's so many wonders in the cosmos already. That I'm just, yeah, I kind of go with what can be proven. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. And now since they did release this, I mean, in the series, I want to say they're coming up on their series finale for the reboot that they did. As soon as you heard the news that they were doing another one, did you run to the studio to record the updated version that you have?
Actually, it's funny, you know, so I have a few records out under my name, Bree mm-hmm. Sharp, and then, maybe like 5-6 years ago, my bandmate and I, who's the producer of all my stuff, his name is Don DeLego.
Beautiful Small Machines, yeah.
Yeah, we started, we were like, well, this is kind of a new sound. We'll be a band for this stuff. And
I really liked your paper planes cover. That was really cool.
Oh, thank you.
I actually liked it better than
the
original version.
Oh, thanks. That's awesome. Yeah, we did a video for that too. So anybody that wants to check it out can.
Yeah, and we'll have all of this stuff up on Comics Online too.
Beautiful Small Machines. And sorry?
We're gonna show all these videos. We're gonna have links to the YouTube videos on comicsonline.com. So
sweet,
everybody will be able to see your awesome stuff.
Okay, now wait, what was the question? Because I was telling you. Oh, did we run right to it? Okay.
Yeah.
So, so then we started doing Beautiful Small Machine stuff, and there was a sense of like wanting to let people know that I'm a good songwriter outside of loving David Duchovny.
Yeah.
So I think for a while there was a time when not that I wanted to distance myself, but I just wanted to play up the other aspects. So when we heard it was coming out, it wasn't like, let's do this right away. But then, you know, what's so cool about the internet and everything is you really can be in touch with your fans. And people on Twitter and Facebook started going like, hey, we're so excited. Like, we're thinking about you. We're playing the song. And then I was like, you know, it would be really cool just to, like, enjoy this moment with all the fans and myself being one.
Yeah.
And to keep it like a community thing and keep that going, because it did mean so much to so many people, and it was how I got my start. So it was but we didn't decide that till like kind of the last minute. So that's why, you know, in part the video is like really pared down.
Yes.
We pretty much recorded it in a night, and then we the next day did the video. So it was Don's awesome idea to do like a pared down piano version with cello, which I thought was just really cool.
Yeah.
We had a friend do strings. His name is Luke Sissel, and he's amazing. He plays violin. So yeah, it's just a nice way to like reinterpret it, and why not? So
absolutely, absolutely. Now, I mean, from reading your bio, you are a busy lady. I mean, you're a musician, you're acting. I mean, you're just all over the place. When you're not actually working, which it seems like all the time, what are you watching on TV? Like, what podcasts are you listening to? What are you binge watching on Netflix or Hulu? Anything good going on right now?
You know, I don't know if this is a good or bad thing, but I go to bed every night watching Bob's Burgers.
You know what?
Like, I watch the same episodes over and over. I find it really soothing. It's just like, it's funny, but it's not like a harsh fun, you know? It's like,
I understand. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of dick and fart jokes in that one. So
it's so great though. Yeah. I will watch Archer. I rewatch Archer, Portlandia, mm-hmm. Walking Dead.
Oh yeah.
I was not a fan of the zombie genre prior to Walking Dead, but
yeah,
I had
me
a movie
neither.
Years back that got me into it. And then I kind of got hooked and I love it. And other than that, I don't watch too much TV. Do you know what else I watch? This is another like this is revealing.
Yeah. What's that?
Well, after I'm done my busy day of whatever I'm doing. I come home and sometimes I will play Jeopardy with my roommate. And then before we go to bed, we will put on Peppa Pig.
Okay.
So do you know what Peppa Pig is?
I absolutely knew who Peppa Pig is. Peppa Pig and his little and her little brother George Pig.
Yeah. It's like you can feel stoned without getting stoned. And it's so like
I have a 7-year-old son, so I've gotten overwhelming. All of this,
I don't think it's helpful to like listen to the ills of the world all the time. Yeah. Everything with the presidential race. It's not that I'm not paying attention to it, but like before bed, I think it's nice to
it's a lot to take in.
Just learn a little lesson in British accents.
Yeah, about jumping in muddy puddles and such. Yeah. No, I understand. Yeah. I have a 7-year-old son who, and it's so crazy that you admit this.
It's embarrassing because I don't have kids. If I had kids.
But there's nothing wrong with that because my son is completely addicted to Bob's Burgers as well.
Oh, yeah. I decided a long time ago. I mean, look, I'm, you know, even when I was in college, I kind of am like a college age boy stuck in a grown woman's body. I like science fiction. I like comedy. Yeah. I like cartoons. I like whiskey. And I'm single. Maybe that's why I need to like put a dress on and paint my nails or something.
Well, Brie, you are right up our alley here at Comics Online then, because our tagline is everything geek pop culture. So you are in our wheelhouse. All right, so I got a couple more questions for you, if you're ready.
Great.
Okay, so since we're having this awesome conversation, I got to ask you, you're a musician. I have wished since I was a little kid that I could have talent in music. I just couldn't pull it off. So I find my outlets other way. I write, I do stuff like that.
I was
like
going to say, you're obviously a great writer.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
that.
But I absolutely love music. So here's your chance. Now, the rules of time and space do not exist. So if anybody who is passed on to the next life, you have full access to this person.
Oh, gotcha.
But you get to create your own super group.
Oh.
Who are you working with? Who's going to be in your band? And what kind of music are you guys going to play?
Okay. Well,
if you need some help, I've already come up with one.
God damn. I mean, I can... See, I'm thinking of people, but I don't know if they would go together. I would definitely grab Phil Lynott for bass.
Okay.
He is the lead singer of Thin Lizzy, and he has passed on.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's fucking amazing. I would grab him. I would have to grab Dylan just because I am just in awe of him, and I love him, and I would go. So we could get those guys on guitar.
Yeah.
And then I would love to grab, Beethoven. I'm not sure. I guess we would put him on keys.
Oh yeah. I mean, obviously.
And, and then drummers, gosh, I don't know. You know, I've got, a couple drummer friends that I play with that I just adore. And I would take any of them, Paul Garisto, Greg Williams, and Scott Campbell. And all of those guys are available for hire. So if you need a good drummer, those three are the bomb. And then I'd have to have Donnie, who's been my bandmate for 18 years, as the band leader and harmonica. Oh, yeah, we'll have Dylan on harmonica.
Sounds like an awesome band.
There. I love my group. I want that group.
That is an awesome group. That is fantastic. Yeah, I was my group was kind of loose. Like I'm a huge my favorite group of all time is the Foo Fighters.
Okay.
Because like the first music I heard that like blew my mind was Nirvana.
Wow. And then get Dave Grohl.
Definitely. Yeah. Well, Grohl's like your wild card because he could be lead singer, he can be guitar, he can be drum, whatever you need him to be, he's there.
I would take him if he came with Tenacious D.
Oh, well, yeah, you got to have Kyle Gass and Jack Black. I mean, that's a given. I'd probably have Freddie Mercury singing.
Oh, yeah, gosh. I mean, once you have Freddie, like, you don't even need anybody else. God damn.
Dave and Freddie.
He's one of my all-time favorites. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Faux show.
Yeah. And I think just for sentimentality's sake, because we did unfortunately lose them earlier this year, and I think it would make an insane band, is you got to have Bowie and you got to have Lemmy. Like Lemmy, Bowie, Grohl, and Freddie Mercury just rocking out. Like, that would be amazing.
And I'm going to put my cats in the band too, because they do that in Portlandia, and I thought it was a really good idea.
Well, if we're allowed to add non-musicians, then I think I'll add my son. My son is anything that he can turn into a drum, he turns into a drum. Like nice. Everything is percussion for him. So
sweet. That's great.
All right. So, I mean, you're a talented musician. You've got quite a resume when it comes to the screen and stage. I saw that you were a member of the Upright Citizens Brigade, which is pretty awesome.
Yeah. I was on a house team for about a year and a half of doing sketch comedy. And that was a really big deal for me when I got it because, you know, I went to NYU for theater and then I got a record deal right out of college and I never really got a chance to do acting. And then a few years ago, I started to get back into it. And I, like I said, was a big comedy fan and they're really coveted spots. So I was terrified to audition. I actually almost passed out. I'm not exaggerating. Right before it was my turn to go in the room to audition, like I could play in front of 200 people, 2,000 people, 20,000 people music and be like chill at this point because I feel confident and I've done it for so long. But, you know, to go into a room and just audition a comedy, which I had never done really in front of four people, I almost blacked out and I almost ran out and didn't do it.
Yeah.
but I got a spot. There were only four spots available for women of like 800 people that they auditioned or that submitted. And I think like 400 auditions, something like that. So when I got that, I cried. I totally cried. It was like a really big accomplishment for me. And then soon after that, I got booked on that Louis episode, which was a huge highlight of my life. So that was really awesome.
I watched that too because I'm a big fan of the show.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it was really funny. I really enjoyed it. Like,
thanks.
But yeah, just so what else do you have going on? Like, what's your next big thing? Are you working on an album? Are you got some big roles coming up?
I am working on an album and I hope to release a single soon. Mm-hmm. Donnie and I are trying to figure out what like the best time would be. But just since we just did this reboot, we want to let people know that I am still around and it's not just that I like dusted this off and that was it. So that I have been doing music since the original David Duchovny, Why Won't You Love Me? And so we have new stuff coming out. Whether it will be Esbury Sharp or Beautiful Small Machines is up in the air, but something is coming soon and then full length. We have a covers album we've been working on for a long time, so hope to get that out there. Talking with some indie film people about doing some film work in the fall. So lots of fun stuff. And also, I just want to give a plug, too, for I volunteer a couple weekends a month up at the Woodstock Farm Sanctuary. And so I will be spending lots of my year up there helping them keep their animals healthy and open up their cafe and all kinds of fun stuff like that. I'm a big animal rights advocate and try to just give voice to them anytime I can, just because if the people don't, no one else will, because they can't do it themselves. So
Absolutely. It's always a good cause to help those who can't help themselves.
So. Yeah. And it feels good. I was just up there. Part of the reason I was late to come to talk to you is because I was up at the Woodstock Farm Sanctuary and they have two baby goats up there and they just literally jumped in my lap. They're 2 weeks old and they just sat with me for like 15 minutes, just kind of like gnawing on my hair.
That's the way my family and I are too. We're all big animal lovers. Like we have a dog. Unfortunately, he's blind now, but we've had him
what's
since
his
name is Terry. He's a little,
Terry, little
mixed terrier. He's like a Skye Terrier slash I don't know what, but we've had him for going on 9 years now.
I think a lot of people, you know, that I talk to say, you know, most people say they're animal lovers, but I think when they say it, they mostly, you know, think about cats and dogs. And I like to,
we have a pet rabbit too. So, I mean, like,
I didn't mean you actually. I wasn't even directed towards you. I was just sort of, I like to just sort of say it out loud because
I understand.
There's about 15 billion, land animals that are, in factory farms and killed every year just in this country alone.
Yeah.
And when you go up and you spend time, like there's a rooster that comes running to me when I come there and he'll hop in my lap as well. And cows and pigs, and you realize that they really are all individuals in the same way that cats and dogs are.
Yeah.
And somehow, because it's marketed to us that they're food items, I think people lose sight of the fact that they actually really have feelings, not just physically, but emotionally. And the more you can steer towards a plant-based diet, the better it is for your health, definitely for the environment, and certainly for the animals. So.
No, I certainly understand, because when we, my son, he was five at the time, and he was begging us for a pet bunny. And I was like, it's a bunny. It can't be that hard to take care of. And I honestly thought that it would just be like a big fluff ball and that was it. But her name is Mabel. We named her after a character from Gravity Falls. And she has such a personality.
Yeah.
And she, I have a little brother. He's 24. And she fell in love with my little brother.
Aww.
Like she absolutely loves him. She starts thumping on her cage every time he comes by.
Oh, she like, loves him.
Yeah. And like when, of all the people in our house, the rabbit will only come to me. So like, I have to change her cage. I'm the one that has to take her out and trim her nails.
Yeah, no, they're very sensitive, you know? Yeah. And people forget, like, when you buy, you know, like, fur-trimmed coats, you know, people, you forget that those are rabbits, sometimes they're dogs, all the fur-bearing animals. They're, unfortunately, whenever animals are looked at as commodities, they are not looked at as living beings, and the torture that is behind it is pretty intense, and we don't see it, so a lot of people don't think about it. But anytime you go and buy something that has any animal product in it, I just like to Google what's wrong with eggs, or like what's wrong with wearing wool, and you'll just get a ton of articles that come up on the internet, and you can sort of pick the source that you want. You know, it's good to have a reputable source, but you might find something from the Daily Mail even, or the Guardian. I mean, obviously like PETA and the animal rights advocacy groups will have stuff to say, but it's more and more mainstream, and you can look and say like, wow, I'm paying for someone to torture an animal. And if I saw a friend of mine torturing an animal personally, I would like beat them with a stick. But when it's behind closed doors and everyone's doing it, somehow it becomes okay. And it's really not. Something to think about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, Bree, this has been a blast. It has been so cool talking to you.
Oh, thanks. It's been great talking to you too.
But everybody, let's do this. Here's what I want to do, because I want to give all the people out there on the internets, I want to give them the chance to see all of your cool stuff that you got. So if you got a Facebook page, if you got a Twitter account, if you got your own website, please tell everybody how they can access your stuff.
Awesome. Well, you can find me on Facebook and Twitter. It's Bree Sharp. I think my Twitter name is like Bree _Sharp, but you'll look it up. You'll see that it's me, and you'll see that I am the nerdiest Bree Sharp that's on that's on Twitter is me. And you know, I do a lot of posting actually on my personal Facebook page, so people are welcome to friend me personally, not just the band page.
Well, you know what?
As far as
like
checking out
music
and stuff, you can go to iTunes or Bandcamp or SoundCloud and look at Beautiful Small Machines. And please go to my website, BreeSharp.com. You can sign up for email alerts there, so that when we do have those new singles coming out, we'll send you an email.
All right. See, and it was that easy because I just followed you. So there you go.
Yay!
With your picture of you with baby goats Lucy and Tuesday. So.
Yeah. That's my personal Facebook page, right?
As far as I know, yeah.
Yeah, and then what about Twitter? It's Bree _. I think there's a picture of me, a black and white picture of me naked playing guitar. So maybe that'll drive people my way.
Guys, I mean, if you need to start going now, because all right, let me see, Bree Sharp. Yeah, it's Bree _Sharp at Bree _Sharp, and true to form, that is your picture right there. But you're wearing socks too, so.
Oh yeah, well it was cold.
Well yeah, I mean.
So duh.
As one would want to do, yeah, you need to wear socks when you're playing. But everybody, this was Bree Sharp again. Thank you so much, Bree, for coming on the podcast.
This was so fun. I love you guys, and I hope to chat with you again soon.
Oh, we will definitely make time for you soon.
giant boobs.
All right, guys, so that was Bree Sharp. Again, thank you so much, Bree, for joining us on the Comics Online podcast. Again, you guys can find her on Twitter, and that's at Bree_Sharp. You can like her on Facebook. You can go directly to her website, which is BreeSharp.com, and you can take a look at all of the events that she's got going on. But also, do go on iTunes, download her stuff. But also, she's got her other band that she works with, that is Beautiful Small Machines. Make sure you check out some of their stuff. Their stuff is fantastic. And again, my name is Mike Lunsford. And for everything geek pop culture, this is Comics Online. Swag.
From leaping tall builders to going off like gamma bombs, switch your internet browser to comicsonline.com.